When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So, Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
With your host, Andrew Donaldson, this is Heard Tell.
So you might have heard tell that President Donald Trump is doing a Middle East tour, and we need to talk about this. And we need to have some grown folk talk about the Middle East and the American president and what's going on, both in context of this trip and the broader perspective, because the American media, especially in the Western media a little bit more broadly, is doing an absolutely terrible job of covering this because, as I recently wrote, foreign policy in the modern era, especially the Trump era, is just kind of the B story of domestic politics. That's how it's treated. If you don't get that reference, just think of your favorite sitcom. There's the A story, the B story, and then there's the C laugh line story, right? There's what's happening, what the side character is doing, and then there's the other thing going on, then it all gets tied together. Foreign policy has been treated in the American media as the B story, and that's probably because, especially the Donald Trump administrations, both the first one and this one, it was a B story. It's just something that is treated to how does this play domestically more than an actual projection of American power. And the Biden administration had all sorts of problems. Remember, the Biden administration, one of the things about the Joe Biden, the wheels coming off of both his administration and the election, his approval, when it dropped and never came back, was when Afghanistan went pear-shaped the withdrawal. And it's important to keep that in mind as we talk about the other issues with the Middle East going forward, is because the support for the withdrawal from Afghanistan was across the board. It was in the high 70s. He just botched how he handled it, and he never recovered from that. And then you get all the, you know, diminished capacity and all that stuff on top of it. But that's when he went underwater on popularity and never recovered, was on a foreign policy issue that people actually agreed with him on. It was how he handled it. The problem with foreign policy, and look, I love foreign policy. I cover it. I study it. I do overseas and international media. I work with Canadians. I've done hits for UK media. I pay attention to this stuff. It's been lonely the last few years on the foreign policy side because the appetite in America for good foreign policy is pretty much nil right now. Nobody cares. Nobody's paying any attention. They'll pay attention to the Ukraine war. They'll pay attention to Israel and Gaza, but that's about it. So you have things like Miramar kickoff. You've got what's going on in Africa right now. You got the power struggles in the Far East. You have things going on like India and Pakistan, which when, you know, they start shooting each other, will pop a headline. But that's been going on for pretty much forever. You have things like China and India and how India has surpassed China as the most populous country and what that means for geopolitics. And then you have what's going on in Europe. Like, we just don't have an appetite in America for right now. Part of that is because you have a populist nationalist administration and Donald Trump. Most of his backers do not care about foreign policy other than make it go away, that sort of stuff. But that's the backdrop to what I want to talk about this Middle East trip, because this Middle East trip matters for a couple different reasons. Let's start with a couple of the headlines. Syria. We could do hours on Syria. The brief nugget, please go read up on this if you didn't pay a lick of attention for the last 15 years of what happened. Bashar al-Assad was a horrible, bloodthirsty, terrible dictator, and I hope he's brought to justice at some point, but I doubt it since the Russians are, you know, protecting him. He was backed, and he held his dictatorship together throughout all of the various civil war issues since 2011, really. Before that, but that's when it got really ugly, because he had the backing of Russia and Iran. Iran especially has been the driver of a lot of terrorism since the Iranian Revolution and the fall of the Shah. The reason this needs to be brought up in Syria in the context of Trump's trip is because the counterbalance to the Iranian Revolution was what's called the GCC, which is you know, the Saudis fund a lot of it, but it's them, the Qataris, and some others, UAE. Everything that's gone on in the Middle East since there has two poles that everything orbits around. What's going on with Israel and the underneath fighting and struggle for power between Iran and Saudi Arabia and others, but Saudi Arabia is the main funder, and that's kind of the pole for that. Those are the two things you always have to deal with when you're dealing with the Middle East, is those two dynamics. Israel and the Palestinian-Israel conflict by extension, and this other thing between Iran and Saudi Arabia. Now, there was some progress over the last few years where the Saudis have not come out and formally embraced Israel, but quietly on the down low, they have improved relations with Israel. They have been working with them on certain things. They, of course, have to be very careful how they do this because the House of Saud fears extremists and terrorists as much as everybody else, unless they're friendly ones that do their bidding, but we'll talk about that some other time. But the Saudis have quietly kind of soft-pedaled the Israeli issue, at least a little bit publicly. They still support the Palestinians, yada, 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 because they have to, but they're at least not wanting to wipe them off the face of the earth like the Iranians do. Then you have the Qatari piece of this. I'm taking a breath on purpose. Normally, I would go and edit that out, but I want to leave that because this is such a difficult topic to get into without getting off the rails quickly, because I'm going to just tell you some pointed facts about the Qataris as I understand them as best I do. Somebody that's actually been there, somebody that's dealt with them. The Qataris are probably the best example of, at least in the last 10 to 15 years, of soft power. This is a country that only has two things, oil and a whole lot of money, and they have peddled that into a massive amount of global influence. How did they do that? Well, one, through business investments, much like the Saudis. They have, their sovereign wealth fund is top 10 in the world. They spend a lot of money on a lot of things. Some of them are very apparent. They own the soccer club PSG, which is very high profile. They, along with the Saudis, have done a lot of sports washing. Sports washing as in they do public things to try to make themselves look more appealing to the wider world. They treat Westerners very, very well when they go to Doha as vacationers. They don't treat migrant workers very well at all. In fact, it's, although there's been some reforms lately, it's barely better than slavery what the Qataris, and the Saudis have been guilty of this too, and the UAE and a lot of other places. They'll bring in immigrants from especially Asia and treat them extremely poorly while building the magnificent palaces that they court Western money and tourism and business interests with. That's just the truth. Sorry. They have Al Jazeera. Al Jazeera is a massive news network. They look, I've got friends that have worked with them. I have friends, people that I respect that do business with them, that write with them, that do on-air commentary with them. I've had friends that have done programming shows with them. If they've decided to do that, fine. Personally, I don't do business with the Qataris for some of the reasons we'll get into, but they do that. Understand, Al Jazeera is part of Qatari soft power. It is to make sure the world sees not only the Qataris, but sees the things the Qataris care about in a certain light. That's a part of this puzzle. I'm going to pause here and just tell you current headlines. We're not going to talk about Donald Trump and the Qatari airplane right now. That'll be future, because that story, there's parts of that story. Look, folks, I've done presidential support. I've been on the VC-25s. I've worked Air Force One. There's parts of that story that are yet to come out. Let that thing breathe a little bit as to whether it's actually going to happen or not before we all get worked up on it. But yeah, that's part of the Qatari stuff too. I understand it's sitting in the U.S. and the Qataris don't have it, blah, 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 blah. We'll deal with it later. But the Qataris have spent a huge amount of money in America, in Canada, in the UK, in America especially. They spend a lot of money at the university level buying influence. The current Attorney General of the United States, Pam Bondi, she was a registered lobbyist for Qatar and has gotten a lot of money from them. Trump over there on this trip has gotten a lot of accusations that, yeah, it's a government trip, but really it's a trip for him to not only have his influence as president of the United States, but also his personal influence. We know his family has done a lot of business with the Saudis recently. A lot of business, a lot of money. Is there corruption there? Absolutely there is. Because this is what these folks do. They buy influence. Now, there's a couple of deals that have come out of this. The Saudi Arabian arms deal, we've had military relationship with the Saudis for a long time. This is a massive arms package. $147 billion is what's reported now. I suspect it'll be higher than that when they're actually done. And the Qataris just got a massive deal of various investments from the United States, somewhere in the neighborhood of $200 billion worth, that they have pledged to spend on things like Boeing airplanes and other things. Boeing, of course, is complete. Part of the reason their corporate culture fell apart is because they are so ingrained in government contracts, they don't know how to be a company anymore. Is that a buyout? Yeah, there's a lot of politics and a lot of personal and professional and power influencers that'll make a lot of money off that deal. You can take that for what it's worth. But again, just to reiterate, this is all soft power. This is buying influence. This is exactly what the Qataris do. This is what the Saudis are doing. They are elevating their position in the world by buying influence. Is that all wrong and evil? That's on a spectrum because it's not happening in a vacuum. No, these are not the best people to do business with, but they are in the Middle East geopolitically. They are the counterbalance to Iran and Iran, the Iranian regime, not the Iranian people themselves. Let's be very careful on that one. They really do want to wreak havoc and kill lots of people. And what? Now, not that the Saudis don't have plenty of blood on their hands, not that the Qataris aren't currently playing both sides against the middle with organizations like Hamas. The reason the Qataris do all this mitigation and they end up being the brokers for meetings with people like Hamas or Hezbollah, although that's more of the Iranian thing. We'll get into that swamp some other time. They brokered things with the Taliban. They brokered things with Al-Qaeda. The reason they do that is because they have no problem doing business with any of them. They use them to their own means. So they're duplicitous as well. But this is the world. This is where this grown folk talk is going to go into. The current item on the table with all these folks is, what are we going to do about Syria? Syria was an Iranian proxy. Bashar al-Assad was a horrible, bloodthirsty dictator who has a lot of blood on his hands, and may he be brought to justice sooner rather than later. Al-Shara, who is now the head of the transitional government, when he was known as al-Jilani, came up through the ranks as a al-Qaeda guy. He was fighting against ISIS. He was fighting for, he was actually born in Saudi Arabia because his father was a petroleum minister at the time. They moved back to Syria when he was very young. This is not the first guy to ever be an extremist or a terrorist or an armed militant to rise to be the head of a sovereign nation. That's happened plenty in history. What we're seeing now is one of the shrewder examples of it, at least in who his friends are. And I'm going to take a minute to kind of go through all this because of all that runway we just laid. We need to understand what's going on in the Middle East right now. Syria is just the latest episode of a long-running thing. So the power balance in Syria is, this is a guy who we have on audio from 2016 saying he doesn't want any of his fighters taking any help from the West. Basically said he would fight the Americans if they showed up in Syria. They did. He didn't. This is somebody, something changed. What changed? It is not accidental that the Bashar al-Assad's government fell as Israel really clamped down on the Gaza Strip and crippled Hamas. That was one of the background pieces that helped keep Bashar al-Assad in power. Whenever he needed help, he'd call up Hamas, they'd send people down, et cetera, et cetera. That also strained the foreign, whatever you want to call the money stream of terrorism that comes out of Tehran. That tied that up. They weren't paying attention. And in about an 11-day campaign, all of a sudden, HTS took over the country. Now, al-Jilani changed his name back to al-Sara, and now he's the transitional leader. Erdogan in Turkey has switched. He was against this guy. He actually cut trade to northern Syria across the Turkish border when he was in charge of Abid because he was worried he was getting too influential. Then he switched horses and jumped on the al-Shara horse, backed them, and has been a proponent of him. The Saudi and the Qataris and the rest of the GCC have now backed him. And now President Donald Trump has, formal recognition will come from the U.S. government at a later time, but he did the photo op with him, shook his hand, said that they're going to lift sanctions. For all practical purposes, the Trump administration and by extension the United States of America has now legitimized this government in Syria. It is purportedly to be a five-year transitionary government. Bookmark that date. In 5 years, will they have elections or will this just be the next dictatorship? TBD, to be determined. Just bookmark it. The GCC has been meeting, and that's why Donald Trump was there, because he could kind of get all these guys in one fell swoop. This went as well as they could possibly dream it to go. Donald Trump showed up, he did the deals for them, and he did the photo op with al-Shara for Syria. Now, underneath all those global politics, the Syrian people have suffered tremendously. When Bashar al-Assad wasn't killing them, Wagner mercs were killing them, the various rebel and terrorist groups, including HTS that al-Shara was leading at the time, was killing them. They suffered chemical weapons attacks. They suffered tremendously. Whole cities were absolutely wiped out and decimated. And then you had al-Qaeda and the ISIS wannabe caliphate on top of all that. They've suffered a lot. The most conservative humanitarian estimates is at least 500,000 people in Syria have been killed since 2011. The number's probably far higher. You have entire cities that were just leveled and decimated. Syria is a country that has economic potential, but since the Syrian civil war, or at least since the 2011 version of it up until today, they are now at the bottom of all the economic indicators because of all the destruction and all that. That brings us back to Donald Trump's trip and the legitimizing of this government. Al-Shara has been very prudent in his friends because he understands while, you know, you get power at the end of the gun, you keep power through coalition building and good old-fashioned power structures. And he has gotten some very powerful friends with a whole lot of money. Now, these are not called the Qatari Benevolent Fund or the Saudi Royal Benevolent Fund or the Turkish Erdogan. I just want to help you out because I'm a good guy, because he's not. These are investments, and these people are expecting a return on investments. They are buying very, very low. This is a decimated country, but this is traditionally a fairly well-to-do country that has a lot of economic potential. It is on the Mediterranean. They do have borders with Turkey. It is of strategic importance. It is of global trade importance. And now the Saudis and the Qataris have a base of operation on the Mediterranean that should be a little more stable without having to deal with, you know, al-Sisi in Egypt or the mess that's in Libya. That's another hot button that nobody's paying attention to. Libya's a mess all over again. And by extension, you have to deal with Israel and Lebanon and the rest of the issues in the Middle East. This is all goes together. So why do we talk all that background? This is a story of geopolitics. People are going to put their priors on it. There is, of course, the Islamic angle to all this. There's a terrorism angle to all this. There's the Israeli-Palestinian conflict underneath all this. How do we cover this story in a grown folk way? Here comes that grown folk talk. You ready? You follow the money. Global politics is an exercise in money. So who's controlling the money? Well, the Saudi money we already know about, and their sports washing and image washing, and why they're trying so hard, especially the new regime, although he's not technically the lead of the country yet. For all practical purposes, MBS is, and he is spreading the money around to spread influence around. That's why you're seeing moderation, at least the PR version of moderation in Saudi Arabia. The Qataris are spending a lot of money because if they don't have influence, they've got nothing, because there's no real reason for the world to pay a whole lot of attention to Qatar. That's why they gave us IUD. They wanted us there so they could exert influence. That's why they spend all that money in the university system in America and in Canada and in the UK. They want influence. That's why they're getting all these business leaders over there. Part of these economic passages are for things like data centers and for the tech lords to have a Middle East base, more influence. The only way they get influence is by spreading money. So you follow the money, you get to the truth. Now, we already know Donald Trump loves money. He loves cutting deals, and he also knows he's a one-termer, and he wants to set up the family in the future. That's why you have the family deals over there, and you can look those up in your own time. So what do you do with a Middle East story that's hard to follow, got a lot of words that are hard to pronounce, and has a lot of moving pieces? You follow the money. So if the Qataris and the Saudis and Turkey are going to start pouring money and influence into Syria, which replaces Iran and Russia and the Bashar al-Assad regime, and that's who was pouring money in there previously, follow the money gets you to the truth. The money tells you where this is going to go, because that money has a lot of strings attached. Let's go to Erdogan in Turkey. He loves to play both sides against the middle. He's for Putin before he's against him, before he's for him, before he's against him again. He sees himself as a power broker in the Middle East, not as much as the Middle East does, but he thinks he is. this is something where he thinks he's going to have influence and a leverage point. So do the Saudis, so do the Qataris, so does the rest of the GCC. And Iran's going to be mad about this, and because they lost their proxy. Russia's mad because they lost their Mediterranean port. So there's a lot of moving parts here, and following the money gets you to where it's going to go. Because again, the Qataris, why are they brokering all the Hamas stuff? Well, because they support Hamas. If the Hamas leadership didn't have nice apartments in Doha, they'd probably do business a little bit differently. So they're a little duplicitous. Keep that in mind. The Donald Trump piece. Donald Trump does not have a true north when it comes to foreign policy. He just wants to cut deals. Keep that in mind. And the Saudis, once again, they are using a tremendous amount of money and influence to moderate, which is a good thing. But how much is that moderation just for PR, and how much of it is just keep the money flowing into the right hands so they maintain power? Now, that's a long way around and a long story time with Andy on what's going on in the Middle East. And this is just a small part of it. You still have to deal with other aspects. But too much of Western media, especially in America, just focuses on Israel-Palestine, which is important and has a lot of repercussions. But that's the only thing they talk about. And they don't talk about all the background stuff that we just walked through and why it's important. A stable Syria that becomes an economic power in a vacuum would be a great thing for the Middle East and a great thing for the Syrian people. It would also help stabilize, potentially, Lebanon, which is another part and would be sandwiched between Syria and Israel. You already heard Donald Trump calling for Syria to recognize Israel. That's not going to happen. He can't do that. He'd be dead before he got out of bed the next morning. But could they do something quietly on the down low like what the Saudis are doing? And could the Saudis influence that to say, okay, publicly we'll be down for the struggle, but privately we'll know we have to work with the Israelis? Something else to keep in mind here is Donald Trump has kind of been bypassing Netanyahu's government on a lot of this stuff. Just keep an eye on that. But I wanted to just take a minute and walk through what's going on in the Middle East and all these moving pieces, because it's just like our core principles on this program. Nothing happens in a vacuum. Follow the money to get to the truth. Both of those get to the heart of this story. Why is Donald Trump in the Middle East? That's where the money is. That's where, both personally, professionally, and as the United States government representative, that's where the money is. He can cut deals. They want to cut deals because it's good PR for them. They'll give him all the deals he wants. He needs those deals for his PR because Congress is in the middle of this messy reconciliation thing. Why did the Houthi thing end real quick? Because he didn't want to deal with the Houthi piece in negotiating these deals. That was probably a prerequisite. So the Houthi thing, they declared vehicle and walk away. Go see our video on that and our writing in Ordinary Times and on the Substack. We'll link to it in the show notes. But understand, nothing happens in a vacuum. Follow the money. The Qataris and the Saudis have a lot of money, and that's why they're world powers. Just remember that money is not for free. It has strings attached. And if you're somebody like al-Shara, you are now going to be pulled in a couple of different directions between Turkey and Saudi and the Qataris and the Americans and whoever else. It's going to be a tough balancing act for the next 5 years for this transitional government. And then there's the big question in Syria. Is this a transitionary government, or is just the prelude to the next dictatorship? A lot of moving parts. Keep yourself informed. Watch a lot of overseas media, even Al Jazeera. Yes, they're biased, but just because they're biased doesn't mean you don't get information in them. Just understand they got bias towards the Qatari point of view of the world. Get overseas information, pay attention to the Middle East, and don't just take the word of it for American media that is just covering the Middle East because Donald Trump went over there and everything goes through the lens. That's why this airplane story. See, I told you I wouldn't talk about it. Now we're going to talk about it. That's why this Air Force One Qatari plane thing was so frustrating. You can't get the Donald Trump focus off it to figure out what's really going on. Leave that thing alone for a couple more days. I promise you that story is going to look different. Yes, of course, it's horrible corruption if Donald Trump did it, but just leave it alone for a couple more days. There's more coming on that front. But the Qataris, yeah, be suspicious of them. You should always be suspicious. There's no such thing as clean Qatari money. There's always going to be a price involved in it. And a lot of Americans are taking that deal because they want the money. And I don't know that they're thinking about the influence on the back end of it. Same goes for the Saudis. But again, are they great people? Nah. Do they got a lot of bad stuff going on? Yep. Are they the counterbalance to a worse alternative in the Middle East? Yep. That's the big boy politics and the grown folk talk when you're dealing with something as messy as the Middle East. It's not neat and clean. It's not left versus right. And people, most of them in America, would rather just plug their ears and pretend it's not happening. But you, by listening to people like me talk about it, show that you do care. And I applaud you for it. So keep getting good information on it, because the world's only going to keep spinning faster, and the Middle East is going to start throwing a whole lot of money out of that spinning. And you're going to reveal a lot about what people really believe and think when it comes to, do you take the money, which will deem how you view the Middle East and how you talk about it to everybody else. Qatari free money here, no Saudi money here. So in the meantime, we'll just keep trying to tell the truth as best we understand it. And you should as well.
All the music on Her Tell is provided under a Creative Content license from MonsterCat.com. Somos la máquina.